Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miran.
And this is Jeff Ellis, and we're back. It is Monday, January 7th, 2013.
Wow. Happy New Year, episode 8.46, the Wild Card Recap Show.
Did you think I'd get the year wrong?
I did.
Ah, nice.
Lots of people have been complaining about writing 2012. And as a matter of fact, someone posted a Facebook picture. It said 2012, and then the two's been changed to a three.
You know, this is one of the easier numbers to change on your check.
Yeah.
You're supposed to initial them, but what if you don't? So what? I've never had a check kickback.
I always initial mine, though.
I know, because that's how they taught you to do it.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that anything would change. So we want to welcome you back. I apologize for needing a vacation with my family. But
don't
you know
get me started. I wasn't even involved. Well, I wasn't even told. I was told the day before I'm leaving to Yosemite. What? What? I mean, seriously.
What?
No, Steven, here's the thing is, I did actually gave you a heads up. I was here Monday.
Yes.
And I was, do we want to do anything else? And my take was, and I said, we're working. It was Black Monday. And I said, I'm working. At least. And the inference was because I'm leaving in the morrow.
I see.
And so I'm working. I'm here and I'm working at the cave.
I didn't. I thought the morrow, you know, was. I mean, I never heard you're leaving tomorrow. So I thought you were leaving on a day. And then you're like, I'm already on the road. What?
Yeah, no, I was in Fresno when you sent that. And I'm like, I can turn around. No, I can't. Wait, I've got kids in the car who would have my head if I turned around and wasted any of their precious little teenager time.
Yes, don't do that.
Precious little teenager time. I already wasted precious little teenager time by taking them away from their friends for a few days to have fun with their parents.
Did they have any fun?
They had a great time. You should have seen them wrestling.
I don't know. The Facebook pictures, they looked a little depressed.
No, they didn't.
Jordan was making faces like, I don't want to be in this picture.
The sleigh ride picture. He was just making them. It was supposed to be just his mom and I. And then he sticks his stupid
little head in. He totally ambushed the picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we were in a sleigh ride with a two-horse open sleigh. And if you're in a one-horse open sleigh, I hope you're by yourself.
What
that's
is
a lot
the
of work
difference
on the,
between a one-horse and a two-horse?
And the size of the sleigh, probably.
Yes, okay.
But
you're saying one horse can't take two people?
Could. Two people, but this was four.
Okay.
And the driver. So that was five.
Cara weighs what, like 80 pounds?
She weighs 150.
150?
Pure muscle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pure
that's not 150.
Muscle. 130?
130, maybe.
Maybe 135, but you cannot lift her.
She is all muscle. She is pretty
pure
solid.
Muscle.
She is pretty solid.
You know what? She's lost weight. Both kids have lost weight.
Well, because they're running around like fools.
And they're not participating in their sports as heavily. Jordan has given up baseball and is now just running around chasing frisbees.
Yes.
Which doesn't involve weight rooms.
Yes.
Okay. And Kara is no longer at the gym. She's now playing soccer.
Running around chasing a soccer ball half the time.
But there's no true workout conditioning involved aside from just the sport.
Yeah.
And because that, they both have lost weight.
Yeah.
And for Jordan, he's really bummed because he apparently was up to 155 and he was really excited, or 160 maybe.
I am macho.
He's 6'2", friends.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's skinny as a rail.
Brother is.
So what does he eat on the last night of vacation? He made us go to the nice restaurant.
Yes.
He ordered steak and shrimp. And then he ate a cheesecake and some of Kara's dessert, which was like a pizookie kind of thing.
Yes.
And he still was asking for
bread
afterwards.
He's a growing boy.
Well, and that day was crazy because he hiked a good 10 miles in the snow to the big trees, and then we played racquetball.
I can hike 10 miles. I don't have a problem
on
with that.
On flat ground.
Let me finish. Okay. Just one time, let me finish.
Okay. But this isn't the time.
I can hike 10 miles.
Yeah.
Not in the snow.
Yeah.
And not uphill.
Yeah.
When you told me they did that, nothing.
And at altitude.
About that.
At altitude. We're at 6,000 feet.
Even sounded remotely interesting.
We're at 6,000 feet, hiking many miles in unplowed roads.
Take me to Yosemite in the summer.
Yosemite.
Yes, take me there in the summer where it's nice and warm
it's
and I will
crowded.
Hike and I will climb up the mountain.
But you're, again,
and
at elevation.
I will do it. But I'm not going to do it in the snow.
It's a challenge, especially when it's as cold as it is and everything's frozen.
Yes.
So the only
my fingers and toes say, screw you, Miranda. I'm not doing anything.
Fair enough. But the thing is, the only places to truly hike are off the path because the path is ice. So off the path is snow. But there you have snow drifts where you may end up to your thigh.
Yeah.
In snow every step you take. Every move you make, every breath you take,
I'm not down with that. So so that's why I was, you know, they made fun of you, actually, at Sky Sports News.
What?
Well, I did.
I gave you the privilege.
Oh, is that what it was?
The privilege of doing solo TV. Yeah. Because you don't have to share the air with anybody else.
You
get to say what you want, how you want,
exactly.
Manage your own time. You don't have to leave any window for me. Was that not refreshing?
It was. It was
different. Because I've done solo TV without you, and I loved it.
Yes.
Now, I prefer doing it with you, but it's a very different experience
doing it
by yourself.
It is different doing it by yourself. It
and
is.
I loved it, I must
but
say.
But I'm talking beforehand.
So who was presenting?
Tom, that was probably my biggest.
It was the holiday
pet peeve.
Holiday crew.
It was the holiday crew. So it was somebody who had absolutely no idea about the NFL
and probably couldn't
and
care
just
less.
Read the
he
questions.
Just read the questions off the
and
off the
so autopilot. I had no fun because of it.
You were a reporter.
I basically could have said anything. I could have said two mice are going to get onto the football field and throw a peanut, and they will win. And he would have been like, okay, I'll answer that question. The Minnesota Vikings. I'm like, really? I could have said that. And then it kind of got interesting at the end because he threw a question at me that was
unscripted.
Unscripted.
Well, somebody
and,
wrote it for him then, probably. Because
apparently, there was during training of their football, soccer, a head coach, a manager, and a player got into an altercation.
You're talking about, you're talking about at Man City where the boss and their best player got into a literal physical scuffle.
So let's just say it was fortunate that he asked me this question, not you, because I could pull stuff out the top of my head.
Roberto Mancini is the boss.
Yeah,
and
but I'm talking about he asked, has this ever happened in the NFL? And I was able to.
I could tell you who the British players were. Well, this is a Spanish coach,
this
I
is,
think.
Yeah, I mean,
but I could have told you the parties involved.
For them, but throw some names out in the NFL.
I can throw names out.
Of player coach who have been in altercations.
I would have to go back to probably the Buddy Ryan era.
Yeah, but that wasn't a player. That was with another coach. He got in with Kevin Gilbry. Those are two coaches. They want to know players, coaches that happen.
Players, coaches that have gotten into physical altercations with no prompting. That's not very nice. I don't like when people do that.
Well, I was able to pull it off. I was like, well, it happened as recently as 3 weeks ago, week 16, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Adam Hayward, the linebacker, went after his defensive coach, Brian Cox. And they had to get separated. And they were like, and I think they thought they were going to stump me. And I was, and then I said, and if you want to go to an actual training camp situation, when Bill Parcells was head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, wide receiver Antonio Brian threw a jersey at his face, and they got into it. Needless to say, Brian didn't have a job next week. But it does happen in the NFL,
and it never flies,
and it happens frequently. Except here, the player usually says goodbye.
I'm very, very sorry, man. Exactly. Please keep my job. But when you're the best player on the team and you're on one of the best teams in the league, then you keep your job.
Usually.
Yeah. So 60 Minutes did a piece, by the way, on FC Barcelona.
I did hear about that.
It's a terrific piece.
I did not see it.
Terrific piece.
I didn't
last
see
night.
The piece.
Very happy that Downton Abbey Series 3, Episode 1 last night was on here in the United States. We're finally finding out.
I am so tired of having to go to Downton Abbey.
Should be thrown in a combine. They told me. My English friends have told me that I may change my tune on Thomas. He's just a scumbag footman who just is always backstabbing people.
He is. He's a backstabber.
And then they go and this is the first time we have had a gay villain in a TV show. And the fact that he's gay, though.
What, just because he's gay, he can't be bad?
Well, I am thrilled. First of all, I forgot that he was gay because it's only come up once or twice.
Right.
And you just... again, you go Martin Luther King, you look at the content of the character, not their sexual orientation or skin color, and you go, I hate you. It's really simple. Oh, you're black? I hate you. Yeah. Oh, you're white? Oh, I hate you. Oh, you're brown? Oh, I hate you. Oh, you're gay? Oh, I hate you. Oh, you're straight? Oh,
so
I hate you.
So you hate this guy just because...
He's a bad guy!
He's a bad guy.
And I just, to the credit of the writers, that they've had the courage to make a villain gay.
Yeah.
Why not? There's plenty of jerks that are on that side of the fence.
Absolutely.
There's jerks on every side of the fence. And, oh, he did some really mean stuff last night. And,
did he?
But someone said, you may change your tune on Thomas.
Will someone kill him?
Well, apparently
Who shot JR?
Apparently, hey, he changed. Died. Larry Hagman died.
Really?
You didn't know Larry Hagman died?
I did not know that.
Yes. So who shot JR?
Now I'm very horrible. How did he die?
But he went out on top. He got Dallas redone.
Dallas got redone. Yes. So he went out on top.
He died. Like Hartak old.
Wow, Larry Hagman. And the only reason I know about that is Mama Lupe. She loved Dallas.
I can't remember the theme song.
I don't know, but she... That's it. She loved her.
That's how I knew it was time to change the channel.
And then the other show, which was a spinoff of Dallas, was Knott's Landing.
Knott's Landing, yeah.
That's when I got involved, because that's when they took basically all the hot young women from Dallas, and they made a spinoff show.
We're going to go demographically. Leave the old people over here. South Fork Ranch.
Leave them there.
And we'll take the hot people.
Move them to this place called Knott's Landing. And then I was like, huh, Mama Lupe, you gonna watch that
and
show?
And that
tonight?
Was when Patrick Duffy starred.
Yes, that's right.
And again, for me, it's like Patrick
Morgan
Duffy.
Morgan Fairchild.
But Patrick Duffy was one of my first. It wasn't a man crush, but it was like
that dude's cool.
Like, wow.
That dude was
cool. You're good looking and cool.
Dude was cool.
I asked the missus this weekend. Yeah. I said, because we've got Hit Squad opening in theaters on Friday.
Gangster Squad. Yes.
And I said, what is it about, I'm blanking on his name.
Patrick Duffy?
The guy in Gangster Squad who's
Sean Penn?
No, the guy who's so hot that all the women are swooning for.
I don't know.
Come on, the guy who did Drive. Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling. All right. Just one of the hottest actors. He was in the Mickey Mouse Club, dude. Who wasn't in the Mickey Mouse Club that ends up being
famous?
I don't know. My goodness. You get scuzzy people, you get good people, but everybody's resume starts with Mickey Mouse Club. He was born in London, Ontario, and he's Mickey Mouse Club. Okay.
Anyways,
Ryan Gosling.
Lisa Hartman, dude.
Lisa Hartman. She went on to do Entertainment
Donna
Tonight.
Donna Mills.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, Donna Mills, Joan
We've
got
to get Pat O'Brien to tell us Lisa Hartman's story.
Oh, that would be awesome.
At the Super Bowl.
That's what we're going to
do. We see Pat O'Brien every year at Super Bowl, especially because he's a chain smoker. So he's always leaving and usually walking
right in front of us to go get a smoke. They always put us next to his booth, too.
And we smell him. Yeah. Come on, chain smokers. Have a little Febreze outside.
Some Febreze. Pat O'Brien stories. Well, let's get to it, Jeffrey.
The only guy wearing cowboy boots at the Super Bowl besides me. What does that tell you?
Yeah, that's...
What does that tell you?
I don't know.
We're men that's comfortable in our skin.
You guys smoke.
If we do
Thank
smoke.
Thank you for allowing me to go down the Lisa Hartman, Donna Mills,
Donna Mills, original cast
there of Knott's Landing.
Donna Mills.
That was my first show where I got into where, like, I'm going to watch the show. I don't care that it is for the older women.
I don't care that it's a soap opera.
It's about the women. On the show are hot. And I'm going to watch.
And occasionally they wear bikinis.
And then,
all I need to know.
And then I really was in trouble when, what is her name? Blonde, beautiful girl, played twins on a soap opera, actual soap opera that my Mama Lupe used to watch called Another World. Do you remember Another World?
Oh, heavens, yes. My mom listened to Another World on radio. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't even watch the show?
Well, she started with it. On radio.
Right, and then when
it went to television, she moved over to television with it, and now it's been off the air for about 5-6 years.
Uh-huh.
But that's how long a run it was. That show had been for 50-plus years, starting on radio.
Wow.
But on Another World, there was a girl. You know, Meg Ryan was on Another World.
Really?
Yeah, I was totally... I had much a crush on her when she was on there as a youngster. But yeah, a lot of people, you know, besides Joey from Friends, a lot of people do soap operas.
Besides Joey from Friends. Well,
Dr. Drake LaMoya.
And Hache.
Drake.
played a twin.
Dr. Drake.
Dr. Drake Remore.
Remore. Okay.
Yes.
And Heche?
And Heche.
Hello.
Was in Another World. She played twins. She played a good girl and a bad girl. They were twins. Nice. And she played both of them. I had the biggest
crush. On the
crush.
Bad one or the good one?
Both of them. It didn't matter.
If the three of us could get together, I'm only one person.
Yeah,
I know,
could you invite,
but if the three
could
of us,
you invite your wicked twin sister? Because anyway, enough
time.
Of that. Let's get to NFL news, Jeffrey.
That
and
was a long
start.
Open.
We didn't even punch it in. Well, let's give it in. Why not?
Maybe we did.
Well, we have no clock.
Well,
that's what
we
the
don't
problem
have a clock,
is.
Steven, because it's broke. Need to add that to the list.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
What list is that? The list of stuff that we've used
the
on our show?
Endless list
that
of stuff
break?
To do.
Oh, my goodness. We can happily announce that we've started making preparations for the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. We haven't made
hotel accommodations. Air flights have been booked.
Paid for.
We are going again our third straight year. We will be representing Sky Sports News Radio on Radio Row for the entire week before
and
the Super Bowl.
Sport.
And
we'll be the only Americans there for
that's
their,
right.
The only voice of the Super Bowl.
And working for Sky Sports News Radio and Talk Sport at the Super Bowl during media a day and the whole week and leading up to the game. And once again, we will be recording our 500th episode that week.
This is number
of NFL Rants and Raves
you're listening to right
490.
Now.
490. So 10 shows before we hit the big 500. Are we hanging it up when we hit 500? 500 and boom, 500, I'm out. Boom. It just you just drop the microphone on stage like Eddie Murphy in Sexual Chocolate. Boom, and he drops the mic and he's gone. No.
I don't know.
You remember that Coming to America?
Yes. Yeah, the Sexual Chocolate stage. Thing, everyone remembers except for me. Yes. I've seen Coming to America in its entirety once, and then parts of it as it shows up on HBO, I always flip over.
Right.
But I haven't seen the Sexual Chocolate thing since the theater, I don't remember that.
Sexual Chocolate.
What's the context?
It's the name of his band. It's the musician.
So it's just like... The Doobie Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Thank you. And he drops the mic and he walks
Sexual Chocolate. Thank you. That makes a lot more sense now because.
Because you're just like, why? I don't remember any.
You don't want to know it's in my head when you say that.
First thing I'm going to do, Jeffrey, I'm going to take $2 from you.
What?
Thank you very much. I've been waiting. I actually even came into the rave cave.
You can't do that if I am the smartest man alive.
You are the smartest man alive, but that's Wild Card Weekend. This was week 17. You said Adrian Peterson wouldn't go for a $125. I said he would go for $175.
He didn't.
He went for $199. Yeah. And so I get both of these. Thank you very much. It's nice doing business with you. I waited. I came in. I was going to take them, and I was like,
well,
you know what?
I'm left with $4.50. I don't want $4.50.
Because you were so confident, you put real dollars out there. You didn't put the halves.
Yeah, I was mistaken. And how did AP do yesterday?
That was 2 days ago now.
Okay. How did he do?
He didn't do so good.
No, he didn't. That's what I thought was going to happen.
It's Joe Webb, man. Seriously, Joe Webb. Let's wait. Let's wait on that. We got some NFL news. Let's start with coaches first. The Buffalo Bills have a coach.
Da, 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 da,
do we have no coaching cares? Why don't you have your little thing, man? What's your thing?
Don't talk about my little thing. That's mean. Da, da,
wait a minute.
Da,
I've got to have something.
Da, 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 da.
How about this?
Oh, gosh.
No.
This isn't going to work.
No.
Whatever it is he picks isn't going to work because it never works.
What about this?
Okay, contextualize of the Super Bowl shuffle. Contextualize.
I don't know.
Contextual, but make it work.
Make it work. Okay, well, so I'm throwing the Super Bowl shuffle because there are some teams out there, starting with the Chicago Bears, who the Super Bowl shuffle is all about, who are looking for a head coach.
Thank you.
And they can't find one, Jeff. Because the one that everybody was coveting, Chip Kelly,
Chip Kelly,
has decided I am staying at Oregon.
He's decided for the second year in a row that he's done working and abusing NFL teams making them kiss his royal butt.
Check it out. I'm Chip Kelly, and I'm Chip Kelly. I'd be like,
I'm the king of the Northwest.
I think I would want a free trip to Cleveland and Philadelphia in Miami, and let's see who's going to just take me. Who's going to give me free trips? And they fly him around, and they meet with him. And he's like, he was close to Philly, though. He really thought about Philly. But then apparently, the dude from Nike said, now, come on, Chip. You got to stay in Oregon. I gave you all those nice uniforms.
That's not actually what happened.
Is that what happened?
No.
I heard that he...
According to Peter King,
okay,
this morning's column,
mm-hmm,
which you haven't had time to read because you dropped the kids at school,
yes,
and we met Beth at the cave, and you had an appointment.
Yes.
While you were doing your appointment, I was at Lucky Boy reading
Peter King,
the first of Peter King's column.
What
it takes
King
forever. I had it read to me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It took 45 minutes to have my computer read me Peter King's column.
Your computer is a slow-ass reader.
I have it read faster than the default.
Okay.
But it's still... I mean, we read faster than
yes,
we listen to the spoken word. But Peter said that basically he didn't believe that any of the what he wants is to win.
Right.
And he didn't see a situation where he could affect winning quickly enough for his liking. That means these are teams that are several years away from being good.
Right.
How? What?
Plus
that's
those
kind
teams,
of a bad.
You got to think, too, that some of those teams, though, that he interviewed with didn't have the players that he would be able to incorporate his offense.
Well, this is part of the problem, but the bigger part of the problem, apparently, according to PK, was that this guy is so serious. He wants to. He doesn't expect to win in the first year, but he expects to win the year after that. And he doesn't believe that these franchises are organized enough, have the right people in place to be able to put together a competitive team within 2 years. What does that tell you about these teams?
That they're bad.
That they're bad. People, they're bad. We didn't do our final power rankings, but they'd be at the bottom.
Yeah.
They would. Yeah. I mean, Kansas City, Cleveland, Philadelphia, you're bad.
Wow. So
Jacksonville, come on.
The Buffalo Bills have decided on a coach.
Speaking of teams that are bad.
They have hired Doug Marrone.
Yes,
is it Marrone,
and it is Marrone.
Or Marrone?
It's no, it's
Marrone.
Marrone.
Okay.
I was very anxious to hear it pronounced on SiriusXM NFL radio this morning, and they said Doug Marrone, and he was introduced. Now, look,
now,
here's
Doug
the
Marrone
thing.
Said that he could have taken Doug Marrone said he could have taken the Browns job, but he chose Buffalo. He chose Buffalo.
Well, you know, he said all the right things in his morning presser. He's excited about the opportunity here. He's excited to be in this community.
Yes.
This is at the presser at Florham Park. But, you know,
Steven, the only thing missing from that presser was I wanted him to come out and say, I am here to beat the New England Patriots. That's what he should have said.
Yeah, how's that worked out for Lovey?
Not good.
He's out of work. You are here to beat the New England Patriots, but they're going to give you more time. And when your owner is 93 years old, I do recommend you do it quickly.
Yes.
But Doug Marrone, I think he was an interesting... From my point of view, Stephen, he was a wild card candidate that kind of came out of nowhere. I've never met him. It's weird to be this close to the NFL and people and just say, this guy I really didn't know anything about. Now, sure, Teresa,
Steeler girl. Because we don't follow Syracuse football.
Right. Steeler girl, she could tell us lots and lots and lots.
Right, right.
But what he's done when he's been in the NFL has been pretty good. He's been associated with some pretty good things. And so I think that this is not, even though most of you out there listening have never heard of this guy, I had never heard of this guy. Steven, had you heard of him?
I mean, I knew that he was the head coach of Syracuse.
Okay, well, that's good.
But
His NFL roots are not bad, okay?
But his NFL roots are as a player,
never,
not as a coach.
He's been assistant.
In the NFL?
That was my understanding, was that he had had some time as an assistant.
I guess he was an offensive line coach for the Jets back in the early 2000s.
Maybe when they were played well. Maybe when their offensive line was good. But that's what wherever yeah. he was, whatever okay. he did in the NFL,
yeah.
he that section of the team was functioning at a very high capacity.
Okay.
He.
I don't know. The Jets in the early 2000s, were they good?
Their offensive line might have been.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'm just telling you what I know.
He was with the Saints from 06 to 08 and with the Jets from 2002 to 2005. So, you know, he's got recent experience, more recent experience in the NFL. And the bottom line is what I like about this is that the new what do they call him? The new CEO there in Buffalo.
Okay.
He went and he interviewed a few people, and he felt like he had a chemistry with this, with Doug Marrone. And I think that that is one of the more overlooked factors when it comes to picking names. It's too often clubs go for the sexy name, the sexy guy, and they don't think about, we're going to have a very, very difficult relationship because our club's not very good. And so we're going to have to build something. And when you build with somebody else, there's going to be conflict.
Right.
So can you work with this person is the overriding factor. Is he competent and can we work together?
I want to use bricks. You want to use sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Well, we played a lot of Settlers this weekend. Dude. I need sheep. You need ore. Yeah. What are we going to do?
Yeah, I don't like to trade with you because you demand too much.
I'm a demanding
person.
You
usually take like, you want like 8 sheep for 1 ore.
Now
I'm
look,
like,
the fact
I
is you could take
that.
4 of your sheep and trade them for anything at any time. So that's a bad true. Analogy there.
Okay, well, I don't know the rules.
I know, I'm a Settlers aficionado.
Okay, so fine. You want 3 for 1.
We played 3 times. I won once, Jordan won once, Didi won once.
What happened to Kara?
She didn't win. But she did better than she's ever done.
Really?
We played hearts twice. Uh-huh. Kara won once, and I won once.
Okay.
So that's pretty good. And I shot the moon. Finally, the last time, Kara was leading obnoxiously, like 11-80.
Yeah,
and then I shot the moon and managed to pass her. Yes, like that.
Yes, like that.
It was.
That's what happens when you shoot the moon. You do it. You cripple everyone while helping yourself.
This is in front of a 70-foot Christmas tree in the lodge.
You've had lots of
70-foot Christmas tree.
I'm glad you had fun. You left us here all alone.
Sleigh rides.
You know?
And you know what is on the rails of sleighs?
Nothing.
Basically like ice skates.
Yeah.
You're sliding all over the place.
Yeah.
The horse is just making sure you're going forward. It's a little tricky. You got some of these narrow passes.
How do you control the...
I don't, but...
But there's somebody controlling
there's
this?
A driver of the horse team.
Okay, right.
And we had this one horse that kept insisting on eating... He loved to eat the snow.
Right.
And so we're going at a pretty good
clip. As long as he knows the rule to don't eat yellow snow, he can eat all the snow he wants.
Snow.
Yeah, he does.
All right,
so there you go. So the coach situation's really... Buffalo's got that. Done that. The Kansas City Chiefs had decided that we're going to take Andy Reid, cast off from the Philadelphia Eagles, make him our head coach. That's it.
The Browns thought they had Chip Kelly.
And they don't. Didn't. The Eagles thought they had Chip Kelly, and they
Bruce
don't.
Bruce Arians probably had a job before he landed in the hospital.
Yes.
And I suspect, and I've said it, I suspect that the pressure of guiding this Indianapolis Colts team throughout Chuck Pagano's illness... Then, having Chuck Pagano return, and immediately you're targeted as a head coaching candidate for all these teams that have fired people, that pressure finally got to him, and it wound him up in the hospital.
Yeah, but it wasn't anything serious, right? It was. I think he went in for flu-like symptoms.
He's
it turned
still
out,
in the hospital
it turned
with
out
his
it was
blood
a
pressure.
Pretty bad ear infection.
High blood pressure is what he's hospitalized currently at this moment for.
Right, but I mean, if you get a very viral... look, trust me. I went through it where the ear, like my ear literally exploded.
I know it popped. I saw the pus.
Right. And that throws your whole system out of whack. So that's why he originally went into the... He had pain that he did not recognize what it was in his head. And they said, okay.
But don't you think that the pressure... finally got to him.
Well, the pressure of everything.
Ridiculous
yeah.
amount of overwhelming, unexpected pressure. You go from being an assistant coach in a rebuilding team
mm-hmm.
to leading this team all yeah. season in someone's absence to making the playoffs with this team to bringing back that guy, now being a sexy, sexy choice for a head coaching position, which you had... You set out to be an assistant coach on a rebuilding team.
Yeah.
Now you're one of the hot choices for a head coaching job. That is a lot of pressure. And you're still, by the way, coaching this playoff team. That's a lot of pressure.
And he didn't get to coach the playoff team.
No, he didn't.
Wasn't there.
And they're not going to be there next week.
They're not.
Which we'll get you to.
Well, let's get to it. Wild card weekend.
I like this, though. One last thing. The Cleveland Browns are set to meet with Mark Trestman. And this just gives me an excuse to say the Montreal Alouettes.
Okay.
The CFL Montreal Alouettes. I don't speak any French. I don't pretend to speak French.
So was it just me, or was Wild Card Weekend kind of let down? You're coming up, and it's like, it's the playoffs, and it's Wild Card Weekend. Voila. And it's let down.
I believe Rich Eisen's line on their post-game show, where I don't know what happened, but they moved Rich from his viewing as a television viewer, the far left. They moved him one in and had Marshall on the outside.
That's the way their game day final has always been.
No, Rich actually commented on how weird it feels to sit in that chair.
Okay. For game day final, the host, which is not Rich Eisen ever.
It hasn't been since for the last couple of years.
Well, okay, for the last
Rich
couple of years.
Rich used to do everything while they were getting the network started.
Correct.
Now the network is successful enough that Rich can choose his work and when he wants to
and
work.
And for
now
the last couple seasons, he has not been doing game day final.
And you know the guy that they've had do game day final? I kind of like him.
Yes, and he always sits.
He sits in the number two spot.
Right.
Okay, well now it's Marshall
now
and then
he
Rich.
Can be a part of the conversation with them without feeling like he's got to lean to the guys.
It did not work.
Irvin
wouldn't shut up last night.
For Rich. It didn't work for Rich because Rich had never sat there.
Right, and he couldn't manage the table.
Right.
And it was a nightmare.
Because it always works for the other guy.
Right, but Irvin wouldn't shut up. I was yelling at my TV, Mike, stop talking. And even if you just talk for a little bit and I'll be Mike.
Well, I don't know what to say.
What about
the Seahawks?
He's stepping on everybody. And sometimes it's just with, that's right, that's right. Oh, Mike, you've had a lot of time. You've got a lot of opinionated, loud guys. Warren Sapp, not Warren Sapp, who's
the
big guy? No, he's a big guy. Sanders has a lot to say. Falk is usually, Falk is pouty.
So there were more than just
three
people?
No, there's four of them. Yeah. So I guess it was Dion and Irvin.
And Falk and then Marshall
Falk. But Marshall Falk gets all pouty. I don't like that.
He gets pouty.
You're not going to make room for me? That's fine. I'll sit over here and be quiet. That's cool. It's like, Marshall is television? Bad time to choose to be pouty, okay? You're doing TV, you got to suck it up.
Yeah.
Steven and I have had many opportunities to be pouty with each other. I want you to know, guess how long, email us. The last time one of us got pouty on air. Last time.
On TV?
No. On the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
I used to get pouty. I used to.
Used to.
Right. But we got better.
Yeah.
So what Rich said, he said, so we finally had ourselves a ball game here tonight in this wild card weekend. I'm not going to say that the other games weren't good. They weren't nearly as strong as this. I think Irvin goes, they were bad.
They were all bad.
They're bad.
And
it wasn't even mathematically, as far as score goes, the closest game.
Right.
But it was the best. The game I expected to be the best was the best.
Yeah.
The Washington Redskins hosted
the Seattle
Seahawks.
Had it been better that after their 14-0 lead, they decided to shut down RG3, it would have been even better. Because I still think maybe Seattle still comes back in the football game, but I think Washington scores points.
Hit bang us, and let's go non-sequential.
Non-sequential. Non-sequential.
We're starting with the last game.
No, you cannot do that.
We just are. Because that's what we're talking about, and we're just going to talk about it. That is the talk of the town this morning, Steven. That's the talk of everywhere. Is did Shanny screw up or not?
Yes.
Now, the cool people, the cool kids all want to say, look, it's a difficult position to be. Mm-hmm. When you're a player, you want to be on the field and you want to play. When you're a coach, you're going all in and everything. But you know what? Steven and I aren't the cool kids. We're the kids who just say it like it is. Shanny, you screwed up. Had they won the game, I would have said you screwed up.
Yep.
Because again, hindsight is irrelevant. I bench RG3 before halftime, before he throws that second touchdown pass, because what I saw was what I saw the week before, which is why I picked the Seahawks to beat the Redskins, because I saw a quarterback that couldn't get his job done.
RG3 tweeted out today, many may question, criticize, and think they have all the right answers, but few have been in the line of fire and battle. And to Robert, I will say you're
That's
right.
That's true. I've never been in a war.
In the fire of battle since high school.
You were in a war in high school?
I think he's talking about
metaphorically?
The battle of, yes.
Oh, it's a metaphor.
He's talking about the line of fire of battle on the football field.
On the gridiron.
Okay. I haven't been there since high school.
I never played tackle football. So I've never been in the line
of
fire.
It is not a criticism to say that an injured man is injured.
It's not a criticism to say that a guy who runs a 4.4 is incapable of running a 4.4 right now. Is that a criticism or is that an observation?
It's just an observation. And as a matter of fact, I would say it's fact. You were injured. We knew you were injured. And then when you fell out of bounds and nobody hit you and you re-injured your leg, you were injured. It is a fact.
When there's a ball that is fumbled and you are unable to roll over to make an attempt to pick it up the ball,
you were injured. That's all we are saying.
This is not opinion. This is fact.
It is not a criticism to say an injured man is injured and cannot perform to the best of his ability, which is what we've expected from RG3. He's been phenomenal all season long, but the minute he had his injury, he was not performing to his ability. And after he threw that second touchdown pass, and even before then, he was struggling to make the runs that he normally makes, to make the throws that he normally makes. He was underthrowing people, the interception to Pierre Garçon. Pierre Garçon had 2 yards on the secondary. Yep. And if he throws that with his power that he normally has, that is a touchdown for the Washington Redskins. But he underthrew them because he was injured. I'm not criticizing you, RG3. I'm just saying you were injured and you shouldn't have been on the football field, and it's your coach's responsibility to say, my guy right now at 50% is not the best thing for my football team. I'm going to pull him, and Shanahan didn't do that, and that's why he is at fault. And that's not a criticism. That's just the facts.
Mike Shanahan, if your backup quarterback was Joe freaking Webb, I don't blame you as much for leaving him out there.
Exactly, but it's not Joe Webb.
It's Kurt Cousins, a guy you drafted specifically because he's not like Robert Griffin III, because he is a very capable quarterback who has won you football games within the last month.
This season, exactly.
Within the last month.
Exactly.
He's won you. He started and won you football games.
For everybody who's saying, well, you know what? You wouldn't be saying this if it was Rex Grossman.
You're right.
But it's not Rex Grossman.
What if it was Joe Webb? Well, then I would think long and hard about this. I wouldn't think long and hard about this because, A, he's the franchise.
Right.
You don't screw with the franchise. What look, the Washington Nationals, perfect example to be there in our nation's
Absolutely.
Capital.
How
what did they
ironic
decide? It's huge.
That it was the Washington Nationals who decided not to play Strasburg in the playoffs.
And
everybody
Steven,
was like, because why? Because they're thinking about the future.
They're thinking long term. And people are like, it's the playoffs. You've got to get him in there. And I said, no, this guy's a kid.
Yeah, and he's our future for the next 10 years, hopefully.
Yep.
And so we're not going to play him in the playoffs, but that's not how Shanahan thought. And even when he had a 14-0 lead and he sees this guy hobbling around, at that point he needed to make a decision and say, you know what? They never scored again, Jeff. They never scored again. And as a matter of fact, as Peter King put in his column, they never gained more than 23 yards on a drive after that.
And they only gained 23 yards once. Most of the time it was under double digits.
Yeah.
And one time minus 11, minus 12. Okay? Your drives were so ineffective, you might as well have been my mom driving in snow, okay? You ain't going anywhere because she's afraid to start the car!
Right, right. And I think that is why Mike Shanahan's inability to make a crucial decision lost them that football game.
Man. It reminds me so much of the Red Sox and when they had their closer in there with his arm hanging off, or I don't remember the... I want to say Pedro Martinez.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Pedro Martinez. But his arm's like hanging by a tendon. And he can't throw the ball. And it's inexplicable. The people at home, the announcers, everyone's like, why is he still out there? Why is he still out there? Well, because I went out and asked him how he's doing. And he said he was fine.
Right. Oh, do you think he said, I feel like crap. You got to pull me, coach.
If there's an athlete not named Jay Cutler who doesn't respond to, how you doing? I'm fine. Then he doesn't deserve to be playing the sport.
Right.
Because it is a gladiatorial sport. All sports are gladiatorial. I've seen my daughter do a balance beam with a busted ankle.
Right.
Okay? I've seen it. Have I supported it? Yes, because it's her passion. Okay? And we have time to deal with this, and we are told by doctors it was not going to get worse. And was it a team sport? No. It's right. An individual sport. If it was a team sport, I might say get her out of there. Even though it's my own kid. I've seen my son play hurt. I've seen him with nothing. He doesn't even have a fastball anymore.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? He's the best option that the team had. The coach wanted him out there. I support him. If I thought he was going to injure himself, that's different.
Yeah.
But it's a mixed bag, friends. But this, to Steven and I, is not complicated. It's not nearly as complicated as Mike Shanahan and Robert Griffin III and what's his name, the billionaire owner, who hasn't said anything yet, but who's the owner of the Redskins?
Dan Snyder.
As any of those people would like you to believe, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants to nuance this, you're wrong.
Now, I've been a big supporter of RG3, even though he plays.
We love Robert.
He plays for that team that he plays.
Yeah.
I've been a bit, even before he got drafted, a big supporter of the guy. But here's his comment this morning. I'm the quarterback of this team. My job is to be out there if I can play. I'm the best option for this team. That's why I'm the starter.
Yeah,
and I will preface that, RG3, with when you are healthy.
When you're 80%.
He was not.
He was not. He was about 50%. And so much of his game, friends, let's even think we're nitpicking here. How much of his game, Steven, depends on his ability to be elusive? I put it at 60%.
More than that.
No, he's got a hell of an arm, Steven. Come on.
But Jeffrey, yeah, it goes back to his leg. He's got a hell of an arm when he's got his legs underneath
him. How much of Alfred Morris's running ability is based on Robert's ability to run the ball also? Your whole pistol formation is the question mark that you put in the defense.
The read option became available.
The question mark was gone. When the question mark's gone, you're playing a fantastic defense.
The read option became irrelevant because when they went to the read option, the defense was like, all I care about is Alfred Morris because you are on one leg and you're not going to get around us. And if you get around us, you're only going to get about 5-6 yards.
Hippity hop.
Right. You're only going to get about 5-6 yards. You're not going to burn us for 30.
And if you throw the ball, you're not going to be very effective, so we can put single men on the outsides.
So it should have, the change should have come a lot early. A lot earlier in the game. I mean, he literally waited for his knee to give, and he had to be laying on the ground before they made a change. And by then, it was too late. The game was out.
Now, Steven,
out of
we
him.
Need to give love to the Seattle Seahawks who went on the road and went from,
finally go on the road and,
finally,
and get a
they've
big,
done it a couple well, times. They,
but this was a big game.
This was what a
if huge
they did
game. It a big game.
This was a huge game.
Big game.
I got this pick right, though, because I didn't see Robert Griffin III looking good last week, and I didn't hear anything out of practice that said he was doing that much better.
Right. Right.
And that knee, look, I'm playing with a bulky knee right now because of all the stupid racquetball playing and snow climbing I did. And you can't do a lot. When you can't
do you hear that, people?
Hurt knees.
That's the smallest violin played for
when
Jennifer.
You got injuries, it affects your play. That's all there is to it. There's balls I could not get to on the racquetball court, and it made me angry. I had to change my whole game, Steven. I'm playing the game differently. I'm trying shots never tried.
Well, you got to do that when you get older.
I was using the back wall so much more than I ever had, and it sucks when you can't get there.
The back wall is your friend
when you're
older.
Apparently.
Yes.
I used to just depend on getting to every
ball. Yes, me too.
Now the back wall has become my best friend, and I'm having to invent new shots.
I haven't played racquetball since 1999.
Okay, I was working that's 13
for,
years.
I was working for QuadraMed. A buddy there who was lightning fast challenged me to a game of racquetball, and I didn't play racquetball that often, so I knew the game. I played a couple
Did
times.
Did you have a racket?
I didn't, but he let me one.
So you didn't even own one?
No.
Okay,
no.
See, I mean, I still have mine in the garage. Right. Now, mine's made of wood, probably.
Right.
And the ones that we rented, oh, my gosh, these new composites.
But he ran me around. It's funny because we went immediately after work, and we ran around so much for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And
only racquetball will you play and play and play.
Yeah,
because it's like a narcotic.
Right. And then and we were done, and we wound up splitting. We wound up with two games apiece, 2-2. And we were done and realized, man, it's like 8. I haven't had dinner. And all I've had was like water. And I'm just like, I got nothing. I need to eat something. And then by the time I drove home and I got home, I literally threw up the water I had in me because I hadn't had any dinner yet.
It's a pretty crazy.
And I was just like, Trisha, just give me something. I don't care if it's a peanut butter sandwich. Just make it. And then she fed me, and then all was good. But yeah, it's been a long time since I've gotten in a racquetball cage. I call it a cage. Because you're in there with four walls, match. And it just feels like the walls are caving in on me. And
I feel so spacious because I learned to play in college where the ceiling was too low. It was a converted storage area.
Okay.
So once I got into real racquetball courts, the game was...
You were like, oh.
This is so amazing. So all these shots that would just barely or may hit the ceiling now just skim. Skimming shots off the ceiling, mm-hmm. There's nothing more fun because you know they're going to fall with nothing on them. And that guy better have a really good kill shot because when it comes down, you're going to have very little to work with. You may be digging it off the back wall, friends. So that was the way that...
I smell a challenge, people. Do you smell a challenge here with Jeff? I need to take him into the racquetball.
Old man challenge for racquetball? Old man racquetball?
Yeah, me and you. Racquetball right now.
I
Let's go. Let's just stop the show right now.
I took a second to DD twice. Right now, my knee needs ice. It's actually swollen. I'm not kidding.
Well, see, I'm smart. I got to take you down when you're you know, not at 100%.
There's nowhere to play around here anymore. Which is really sad.
Put it right there.
Right about there.
Right over there.
The 24-hour fitness.
There's a gym.
24-hour fitness by the cave.
I think Scott won.
No, it doesn't. I work out there. It has a pool, which is nice.
Is it a nice pool?
It is. Well, it's nice that the 24-hour fitness has a pool. But no, there's no more racquetball. The Pasadena Athletic Club has been bulldozed, and then they meant to build something, and then they ran out of money.
Right.
So they bulldozed the only place in town that had racquetball courts. And then didn't build anything. So nice. You've got a vacant lot where I used to play racquetball. Thanks! Mm-hmm. So, that is again, Seattle, I put out a poll on Facebook and said which of the rookie quarterbacks will have the best day. And you know what? I thought that the people got it right because I'm going to give you those numbers right now on the voting. Internet's slow this morning, Steven.
Royal Seco, dude. I knew there was a racquet club right there.
Okay, that's
right
the one that takes quarters.
Okay, I'll
and
pay
what's
a quarter.
Fun? No, so it was like 75 cents for 15 minutes, and then there's no warning, and the lights go out, and you can't find the door. And then you got to go outside, put more quarters in the thing to keep playing. So
Says the LA Fitness on South Lake has racquetball courts.
Oh, they probably do, but we're not members there, sir.
I bet you could go in and you can, you know,
get a trial membership.
You wink at somebody,
you know,
and you get a trial membership.
I'm thinking this might be a nice place to work out, but you know, I got to try it out first. Make sure that your showers aren't all
gross. They'll give you,
month. Here's a week membership.
2 weeks, something like that.
And that's all we need to have our grudge match.
That's right.
Okay, now, I like that our listeners are the smartest people alive.
Are they? Who'd they say?
They said by basically a 1-5 margin, Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson was the rookie of the week. Andrew Luck was good. He did better than I thought he would, but it was not good enough. They put up 444 yards of offense and got 9 points out of it. That's problematic, boys and girls.
No, you can't settle for field goals.
But Andrew Luck came in second place in our polling. Only two people voted for Andrew. And I like that Ed Franks voted for Robert Griffin III.
He was the only one?
No, there's three.
Okay.
Two others besides Ed. But Russell Wilson got 11 votes, and I thought it was pretty cool because you guys got it right, and he was very, very impressive. So
I think that
yeah.
The fact that RG3 couldn't run. Look, you're a teammate on defense, and you see your star quarterback, and you see him hobble on a run option, get around to get 3 yards where he would normally pick up 15. I think that does something to you, to your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to then compensate and do something a little bit more. And plus the ball, you got to admit, the ball was kind of bouncing the Seattle Seahawks way.
Dude, when Russell Wilson mishandles the snap and the handoff to Skittles boy, and the ball happens to he swats it, and it rolls right where he's going to be. Marshawn Lynch just bends down with his sticky glove.
Yeah.
Picks it up and runs for 22 yards on what should have been it was a fumble?
Yeah.
That's when things are going your way. And look, Russell Wilson,
you are definitely living right.
How about this? And I got to say this. Russell
There's
Wilson.
There's the Racquet Center of South Pasadena. I don't even know what that is, but
maybe that's one with the quarters. I don't know. I used to go down to we used to play more than three times a week.
Really?
There was Dee Dee and I would play a couple times a week.
I heard that from Trisha. You guys used to play all the time.
A ton. And yeah. There was a couple people that we wouldn't play with anymore because they were so much better than us. No, I mean, like, they would win tournaments with trophies and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they had those serves that were always never more than an inch off the ground and just kill shots into the corner. You're like, on the serve. It's not really very much fun because I can't really return your serve.
Yeah.
So why am I? If you just serve differently, then we could have some decent rallies and have fun.
Yeah.
It's not all about winning. Sometimes it's about actually getting your work in and getting some workouts and having long rallies being able to laugh. It's about more than that until the score becomes close. Then it becomes all about winning. Russell Wilson, what impressed me most about this young man who I am falling in love with more by the day? His blocking, Steven. How many times was he in front
blocking downfield,
blocking for Marshawn? I saw three plays come to mind. One where it was one of those stretch handoffs where you possibly do a play action, but he didn't, and he hands it off to Marshawn. So he's way in the backfield, and he still busted up field in time to be the lead blocker.
Well, I mean, that was totally. I mean, he had to.
He didn't have to. He chose to.
Well, okay.
How many quarterbacks does Troy Aikman choose to do that? No. I'm not saying because he's a Dallas Cowboy. I'm just saying most quarterbacks don't do that.
I've seen Troy Aikman. I've seen pretty much any quarterback. When you see your running back turn directions, which was because the play wasn't supposed to go that way, Jeff.
The play goes play whatever way.
The play
Marshawn
was supposed.
Decides.
Well, okay, but the play was designed to go to the left.
I didn't
and he
know
was
that.
Going that way, but there were two Redskins there immediately, and
directions.
Marshawn stopped on a dime and changed directions to the right.
So no
Russell
help.
Sees this, and he's like,
he has no help.
Okay, it's coming this way now. And so he's got to go. And any quarterback who sees his running
Tom
back.
Tom Brady?
Trust me, I've seen Brady do it.
Peyton Manning?
Your running back turns directions, starts coming your way, and he's got no blocker.
I've seen Phillip Rivers do it.
Look, they don't do it well. They don't do it like Russell Wilson did, but they will go get their body in front of somebody.
They don't do it well.
They'll go run downfield and get their body in them, and they're not going to throw
it's
vicious
a pretty
block.
Dangerous situation.
They will go get in the way of someone.
Russell throws violent hits.
Yes. Russell did go and make blocks, but quarterbacks do that. If they see that the play gets turned around,
fair
they
enough.
Will go and... Or at least they should, and I have seen those guys do that as well.
Okay, now look, that sets the Seattle Seahawks. Give them a
24-14. The Seattle Seahawks.
They now go back.
Are sitting pretty because
but
now
they
get
all
Atlanta.
The way back home. Then they got to
fly
all the
stayed,
way back
I
east
stayed,
again.
I would have stayed somewhere out there. If I was Pete, I would have called in some favors.
Pete should have planned ahead.
And
he should have told them that we're staying out here.
Yeah, we're going to stay out here. Let's give us a practice
we're gonna
facility.
Win. That's a given. We're going to win. So here's where we're going to stay and make the reservation.
Yeah.
You can tell me that Bruce Allen can't afford to pop for a hotel. We're going to run out this wing of the hotel here in this city on the eastern seaboard. Stay somewhere nice down in the North Carolina area, on the beach.
And, he could have.
And we're going to rent this hotel. This is where we're going to be. Our whole staff's going to be here. Our whole training facility's going to be here.
But they have set up. Are you ready, Jeff? The Angry Birds Bowl.
Angry Birds Bowl.
And we've got the Atlanta Falcons, who are the big black bomb bird, versus the Seattle Seahawks, who they kind of look like the whirly bird.
The boomerang bird.
So we got the boomerang bird versus the bomb bird in the Angry Bob Birds Bowl.
So would you rather have the bomb bird? It depends what you need to accomplish.
They
are so different.
They are.
But it totally depends what you... If I have something that is wide, the bomb bird ain't going to help you.
Really?
Nope.
Because he's not going to crush down
he
and
cannot
blow anything.
Get the expansive area that he needs.
Right.
The boomerang bird can cut a swath.
And come all the way through.
Through a wide area.
Yes.
And then have that all implode on itself.
Yes.
And that it all depends on what your purpose. So how do you beat the Atlanta Falcons? I think you need the boomerang bird because they got a lot of pieces that can hurt you. They got the Michael Turner, they got the Tony Gonzalez, they got the Julio Jones, they got the Matty Ryan.
White.
They've got. They don't have. Is Abraham out? Done?
I don't know yet.
You know what's so funny, Steve? We had that argument about the health of John Abraham, yeah. And then boom, he gets blown up in like the first.
You jinxed him.
Court. No, you already thought he was dead. You became a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I didn't think he was dead. I just thought he was down. All right.
So we've got that to look forward to, and this schedule. I want to just talk broadly well, as we so to... about the next game. So yeah, when the game. Atlanta game is divisional round. I want to say when they're going to play
next. You can't go ahead. We still got to talk about the other game.
That is going to be the early game on Fox on Sunday morning.
Okay.
That's all. And then we go back to the recap again because we talk about the winner and what the winner's going to do next.
Yes. Okay.
And then we can look ahead a little. Tease that. But yeah, so the Seahawks will travel to Atlanta and be putting, if you got frequent flyer miles as a Seahawks player, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You can pretty much take your family to the moon if you want this offseason because you've had trips to Toronto, you've had trips to Florida, you've had trips to now Atlanta, trips to Washington, D.C. You've racked up the frequent flyer miles.
All right, let's get to the Indianapolis Colts traveling to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Ray Lewis's final game in Baltimore.
Forever, you sure? It wasn't just a motivational tactic?
To say that I'm retiring?
Yeah.
He should retire based on how he looked on the football field?
Yeah. I don't know. How he looked coming out of the tunnel was pretty dang cool.
Yeah, he always
he picked up
critical.
That turf and he throws the turf on his chest.
Yeah, I don't get the whole. Who's the guy that puts the little square turf there for him?
I don't know, and it's not little; it's big.
Hey, aren't you going to plant that? No, that's for Ray Lewis to rub on his body.
Look, Ray was.
But literally, the first play of the game, I told Trisha, I was like, "Hun, here, watch this. Watch Ray Lewis." And she's like, "Is he hurt?" I'm like,
"No.
You think?
Just watch.
You think?" He made some great plays, but he also made some plays where you're like, "Maybe it's time for you to go, dude." I mean,
the interception
hit him right in the hands, Jeffrey.
I know.
A solid, not injured, not rusty Ray Lewis picks that off and runs for another 20, 30 yards.
You were right. The scene at M&T Bank Stadium, the weather held this weekend and was really not an issue. It rained in Houston, but they just closed the roof. No big deal. And the expected weather was a non-issue. Green Bay it was supposed to be some mixed weather, and it was just cold, which it always is in Green Bay. Met some nice people from Madison, Wisconsin, on the snowy trail, going to the big sequoias up in...
And they were fine. They were like, this is beautiful weather. What are you talking about?
No. She was really cold.
Really?
Because apparently, when it's damp and cold, it feels very different than when it's... when it gets to be about 7 degrees, it's dry as a bone. It's so dry. And that feels very different. I'm going to take her word for it.
Dry cold is warmer than wet cold?
Yes. Well, because once you get damp, it's hard to get dry because it's too cold.
Yes.
Well, from the racquetball courts, which weren't heated at this lodge at 6,000 feet.
Yes.
Oh, Jordan tried this one on me when I was really gasping for air. I said, dude, we're playing at altitude. He says, we're inside.
Okay.
My son's a college freshman. Yeah. I said, your tuition check, I just brought back. You're going to City College. Congratulations. Yeah, yeah. You're going to community college, and you're going to like it for that comment alone.
Dad, we're inside.
Yes, because the room immediately takes you to sea level.
It does. You haven't heard of those rooms?
Yeah, well, especially this room that has no climate control. The heater was broken. So it was about 38.
So while you're sweating, was the sweat turning into frozen icicles in your hair?
My hair was cold. My hair was so cold.
I will admit that I have played in football in... conditions that were so cold that the sweat would freeze on my hair.
It's nasty. I mean, you start getting a headache from your hair. It's not supposed to give you a headache.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because there's ice on my
hair.
Jordan's
wearing his little beanie. So the next day we played, I brought in a beanie and I did much better.
Yes.
But at first I thought, why would you wear a beanie? Well, because it's that cold. So the Indianapolis Colts, Steve, what are you going to say about them?
Well, I will say... they're going to be pretty good next year.
219 yards is the exact number of total yards. Yeah. And 9 points.
The fact that Ray Rice tried to keep letting you get into this football game.
Yeah.
Fumble after fumble. And setting you up with pretty good field position. And the fact that they couldn't do anything with it was very disappointing. It had to be disappointing for the Indianapolis Colts. Soapy Cheese, very sorry for you, girl. I know that you are, you know, crying. And you had your heart set on an Indianapolis Colts versus Denver Bronco playoff game.
We all kind of did, in a way.
Well, we did. I was going to that game, by the way. I was just letting you know now.
I don't know how you're going to pay for it.
I was going to hitchhike there. It's going to probably take like $100 in my pocket. And hitchhike there.
Okay.
Colts at Ravens, 24-9 was the final
score.
Can I
say this about the running game of the Baltimore Ravens?
Sure.
The fact that they had Bernard Pierce to come in this game.
And rest for 103
and
yards.
And rest Ray Rice.
Well, were they resting him, or were they kind of saying, we've had enough of your fumbles, dude?
I think it's this, dude. What you've done for us this season is terrific. You got us here. And when we stumbled, it's because you weren't being played enough. But we're expecting a deep, deep run. We understand that Jeff Ellis has us in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And we have a lot of work to do then. And we need fresh legs.
Jeff Ellis does understand they got to go play the Denver Broncos this week, right?
In altitude.
A team that already beat him 34-10 or something.
In altitude.
Like that.
And yeah, they're going to go in, and it's going to be a different game. I guarantee you they put up a fight. This is upcoming weekend is the best weekend in the world. I've got Chris Berman screwed it up. What's Chris Berman's favorite sport?
Hockey. Football.
Okay. Specifically, what form of football?
American football.
And specifically within American football? The NFL.
The NFL.
Okay. So we agree that's Chris Berman's favorite thing?
Sure. I don't know.
You don't know where I'm going, but you agree with that, that's Chris Berman's favorite thing?
From what I know.
He loves the Montreal Alouettes,
yes,
but he
does.
Really does prefer
Alouette,
the NFL.
Shallow Alouette, whatever he
okay.
says.
Okay. Now, Chris Berman is the life and breath of ESPN. So we're going to say he's a sports guy. Fair
yes,
enough?
Sure.
Okay. Sports guy whose favorite thing is the NFL and goes on the record and says that the best weekend of the NFL is next weekend.
Absolutely.
We all agree, because you get four games, and they're all usually pretty good games.
Yes, and it's 2 days. It's a weekend.
So therefore, isn't it the best weekend in the world? Isn't it the best weekend of the year, of the calendar year? It's not the best weekend for the NFL. It's the best weekend,
in
period.
The world. I see.
And I think Chris just missed that one. Chris, it's the best weekend. It's my favorite weekend of the year. I can't think. There's no weekend I look forward to more than divisional championship weekend.
I look forward to Super Bowl weekend.
Nah. Especially now that we're not with our families for the party and stuff.
Well,
we're going to the game, and that's fun. But you know what's more fun than the game? Is after the game.
Yeah.
Where we get close to the players and stuff, the winning and losing players after the game. That is really, really cool.
Super Bowl weekend.
Nothing touches that. But
if you just want to say Super Bowl day, fine. But that day, there's nothing like it.
But that day's going to be really late. The game's kicking off at 8 local time.
What?
I didn't think you had thought about that, Steven.
I mean, because I guess it's the same time that it kicked off when we were in Dallas. It's the same time zone.
Are they in the Eastern time zone?
No, they're
in the Central time zone.
Yeah.
This is in the Eastern time zone, New Orleans.
New Orleans is in
yes!
the Eastern time zone? How?
Yes!
How?
That's just the way it is.
How?
Okay, they're 3 hours ahead
up.
Of us. Look it up and then tell me that I'm wrong. It's starting really late for us. We are not accustomed, Stephen and I, to attending sporting events that start at 8 p.m. Sure, we will be there probably, since if kickoff's at 8, we'll be there at least four hours
before. It's 2 hours ahead. It's 2 o'clock right now in New Orleans.
So it's going to be 7 o'clock there?
Yeah. Chill out, dude.
Okay. Well, then the next year is going to be in New York. That'll be weird.
That'll be late.
That'll be late.
They always get this stuff late in New York.
But we're not usually the guys. I mean, yeah, we were there for Monday Night Football that kicks off at 8:30 or something.
That's crazy. I do remember
that.
That's
a long day. It's like how do you use your day?
Yeah.
We're used to these things being new.
New Orleans is CST. So.
CST, Central Standard Time. Well, my bad and my apologies for all New Orleanians for misleading.
Mister, I am the geography guy of the world.
I'm not time zone guy. I am geography guy, though.
Okay. You would think the time zone and geography kind of together. Why? East Coast. Because New Orleans is nowhere near the East Coast.
Chicago's in the East Coast. No, it's not. But there's a city that's... No, there's a city that just always confuses me.
Okay.
And it's like Iowa or something. There's some city that is the westernmost city in the eastern time zone or the easternmost city in a western time zone. Something like there's some that are less obvious, okay?
Somewhere in Indiana?
Possibly.
It's in, probably. Because there's a little bit of Indiana that's in the...
What about Indianapolis? Was that in the central as well?
No, I think Indianapolis is in eastern.
Well, see, that's confusing because New Orleans is east of there.
No, New Orleans is...
Is this... Really? Yeah, see, this is a big country.
It is.
People don't understand that the United States of America is really, really big.
Very big country.
It's fat. And I don't just mean its residents. the snow guy. Horrible. The snow guy from
Snow Guide?
The snow guy from State Farm Insurance. I'm snow.
In the middle of winter, the campaign guy,
and in the middle of winter, like you, I get heavier.
And he's just laying on
he's
the
laying
roof.
On the roof of the garage.
And then little puff of snow.
I just can't get looser pants.
Push,
Steven, I had.
You had snow fall on you like that?
I had a tree birth children
awesome!
On top of me.
And nobody caused it? Like, Jordan didn't throw a snowball on top?
We were trying to make it happen all week.
We're
pulling on branches. I tugged, and I got the kids a little bit when we were on the sleigh ride. Mm-hmm. I found a branch that was low, and I gave it a little jerk, and it dumped on the kids, which was fun on the sleigh ride.
Yes.
But, no, I had one spontaneously. We had an avalanche go off when we were hiking in the valley.
Really?
It's exactly like it sounds in the movie.
Yes.
You hear a crack, and then... You're like, whoa, holy
crap. But you weren't in the path of the avalanche.
Not even. But you could literally feel it.
Could you see it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we're in the middle of all these trees. We're hiking up to the falls, to Yosemite Falls.
Yes.
And
were they frozen?
No.
Okay.
No, but what's really cool is...
The water was still coming over the wall.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really, really neat. Yes. And there was a surprising amount of water for this time. Bridal Veil Falls was still very full for this time of year. Usually it gets a little low.
Maybe the family, the girls and I will
in
venture up there this summer. Yeah.
You know what? In the summertime, it's too damn crowded. You might want to target spring before it gets too crowded.
I am not afraid of crowds.
I hate crowds. You go to Disneyland. I don't. I hate crowds.
I'm not afraid of crowds.
Yosemite is Disneyland in nature.
And
it's
we
so
go to
crowded.
Disneyland
I know.
All the time.
And so you guys will have a good time.
You should join us at Disneyland. You would have fun.
There's
some rides that are really good. Buy an annual pass. Knock it out.
I officially am declaring, for all the people who go, what is Jeff's really backstory? I have a sugar mama, but we are officially out of money as a family. We're officially...
Sugar mama, what, she cut you off?
No.
Way to go, Didi. Cut him off. I'm going to give her a clap right there. She cut you off.
She would never cut me off.
Okay.
But... We've been living off of the sale of her company last time.
Yes.
And we're officially out of money.
Okay.
So there's to it. Had a check bounce and everything.
So you need to step
we're
it up.
We're reeling in. We're reeling in the spending dramatically.
Need to step it up and, you know, get a job now.
Let's get a job. What are you high?
We're gonna reel in the
maybe
spending.
Maybe not go to the ArcLight. Maybe actually go to a normal theater.
Oh,
and
I see.
Put up with people texting in the middle of the movie.
Oh yeah, see, we can't. Oh my God, I have raised
a movie tyrant,
a movie snob in my daughter Elena.
I love her.
We went to the Santa Anita because when you go there for an early show, it's $6.
Yeah.
And we went to go see Monsters, Inc. in 3D. And a woman in the front, in the row in front of us was literally on her phone. And Elena was like, Dad. I'm like, honey, we're not at the ArcLight. I can't make a big stink.
We're not at the ArcLight. I can't say anything. These are the people's theater.
Yeah.
The bourgeoisie.
Yes.
This is their theater.
Yes,
we have to let them be.
They have
if they want to eat each other and we have to let them be. We've chosen to live with the barbarians.
Yes, we are here. We got to just live
with
it.
These are the morons that text through an entire movie.
It's not upsetting. Happy.
It's upsetting.
At that woman.
That's why we go to the Arclight.
Yeah, and that's why we do.
I pay $13.50 to see a movie where I could be spending $11 somewhere.
Yeah. Or less.
Well, yeah, like I said, but you can go for $11 at the Arclight if you go to the first showing or something like
that. That's still pretty expensive.
It is relative to what you—or you can wait several months and go to the $1 theater on Wednesdays.
We are big fans of there.
The Regency. Colorado.
Floor is sticky. And,
pretty sure it was a porno theater at one point.
We went to go see Team America World Police there.
Yeah,
that was—
As the song goes, of not being vulgar—
That was interesting.
We were dying. We were rolling.
How long have we gone now? Where are we on the show?
We're 70 minutes.
70 minutes. So we've
clock's broken, and that's on my to-do
list. Also say, Baltimore Ravens, they get the big win, and they get the pleasure of going to Denver. I'm going to say to get a butt whooping.
I'm not going to say to get a butt whooping, but I'm going to say... I expect it to be a good game, Steven, and I think we will see a Peyton Manning fourth quarter comeback.
I am taking all home. Just telling you right, I'm taking all the home teams, save one.
Well, what we've got as home teams is Broncos, Niners, Falcons, Patriots. Steven is sure that the Patriots, Niners, and Broncos will win at home. That leaves the Falcons to lose to the Seahawks. You've got the Packers beating the Niners.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. Only a few choices. Nobody believes the Patriots will lose to the Texans. Nobody. I don't think
there are some people in Houston probably.
Yeah, but they're delusional, Steven. They're institutionalized, okay? We're not responsible for them.
They're institutionalized?
Nobody in Baltimore thinks that the Broncos can win. That the Broncos can lose.
Yes.
Nobody.
There's some people in Baltimore who believe that.
There's some people, but again, they're near the Beltway, Steven, and there's a lot of deceived people in the Beltway. We know that. Now, the 49ers, they should be a little fearful. And people want to keep making game one comparisons as we transition to talking about the Green Bay Packers game. There's people who want to make comparisons to week one.
Yeah, you can't. The Niners are a different team. The Packers
totally
are a different team. And the fact of the matter is, I think Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Packers, said it best. He said, the Packers respond better when they're disrespected.
Oh, my. But so do the 49ers.
Yeah, but no one's disrespecting the 49ers.
No, that's true. Everyone's saying that they're the second coming of John Elway, kind of. I know he played for Denver, but it's just true, though. No one's saying Joe Montana. I think Joe Montana's respected more than John Elway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I said, John, I was taking it back just a step.
Yeah.
They're not going Joe Montana, but they are saying, this is a great team. Like, okay, but no one's saying they're as good as the Steve Young, Joe Montana era, but they're saying this is the next best thing.
Yeah, this just in, though. Pete Carroll was refuting a comment from an NFL spokesman who said that the Redskins nor the Seahawks had any problems with the field conditions.
Oh, bull crap!
Pete Carroll's like saying, apparently they didn't talk to me.
Okay, so I go to Steven's house to watch this game yesterday and enjoyed the girls and had a nice time.
We had a good time. Watching
Come home, the first thing Didi says to me, what is up with the field there? They're playing on colored sand.
Yeah.
I saw a player after a play walking to the huddle, frontwards, slip on the field.
Yeah. Carroll told the radio station that he goes on in Seattle today that it was a horrible, horrible field. He said it was as bad as the field could get for being dry. And that
is bad. It was dry?
Yeah. He says, it's really too bad. We deserve better in the National Football League. It was worn out.
I thought you said that he was
all
defending
kinds of
it.
No, he was
critical
of the NFL spokesman who say nobody complained.
Oh.
And he's like, well, apparently they didn't talk to me.
I tell you what, I'm one of the two head coaches, and I'm complaining.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me be clear. This field was crap.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was basically
saying.
Was
there 10 bowl games played on it this week?
I don't think so.
It looked like they took a truckload of sand and painted it green.
Yeah.
Every time a player would run, you would see sand come up as if he were on field turf, and you're seeing the little black rubbery pebbles, right?
Right. But it wasn't. It was just, it was,
that's what I'm saying. It was bad. Every time guys were running, all you see is sand go flying. I don't know. I thought it was the old RFK Stadium. Seriously. It was so bad.
Apparently, Greg Aiello was the spokesman
Greg,
who told
you're paid well to lie
Ian
sometimes.
Rappaport, who said that neither team had filed an official
complaint. Of course they haven't filed
conditions.
An official complaint. One team lost on their home field, and the road team won. They're not going to go work out the paperwork to file an official complaint. But they are. Don't mislead us into thinking that this was an acceptable situation. It was not.
Yeah. It was a bad field.
Wow.
But apparently the Seattle Seahawks may very well file that official complaint.
If that's what it takes for the league to acknowledge that the field sucked, is to file a form, then do it. Have somebody up there. Now, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, we thought we might have a game because we had a rematch. They played each other three times in 45 days.
But here's the thing.
Just before kickoff.
Nobody
expects Spanish Inquisition.
Especially when it's the starting quarterback and you don't know whether he's going to start or not. When did you first hear that it was remotely a possibility that Christian Ponder wasn't playing in this football game?
Kickoff was what time on Saturday?
It was
the 5 o'clock, 5:30 game on Saturday. I posted it on Facebook immediately, Stephen, and I'm guessing it was an 70 minutes before.
Okay, that's when the official was that he wasn't playing. That was when the official word, Christian Ponder is not playing. That was 70 minutes before. But when did you hear that he might not play?
I mean, he was limited in practice on Thursday.
But
we never got
any Christian Ponder, it's possible that he may not play.
No.
We didn't get that until Saturday night.
Yeah.
So less than 24 hours before the game, I mean Saturday morning, less than 24 hours before the game, we get from the Vikings, he's 50-50. We don't know if he's going to play.
Since Saturday, I posted this via mobile, but it doesn't have an exact timestamp on the Facebook
Saturday
post.
Morning was the first thing we heard, Christian Ponder may not play in this game. And then about an hour and a half before the game, we're like, Christian Ponder's out. And we're like, really? I mean, the fact that they were, I guess, trying to keep it a secret because they were, like, going to give him the benefit of the doubt and he was a game-time decision, I understand that. But to go all week and not really know if your guy is starting, and then if that's the case, you don't give Joe Webb every single rep in practice?
Well,
because you don't have a lot of practices to begin with? It's because they're limited? You got to give him every rep. If that's the case, because Christian Ponder doesn't need him if he's going to play.
Well, it would be good to have them.
But if he's not going to play and there's a 50-50.
They didn't know.
A 50-50 shot?
They didn't think it was a 50-50 shot. I think they really rolled the dice and lost, Stephen.
Oh, they lost.
They crapped out.
Big time.
So it was about an hour before the game, and Mike McCarthy, when asked later what they did once they found out that Christian Ponder would not be starting.
I would have played Charlotte's Webb before I would have thrown Joe Webb, whatever his name, out there on the football field.
That was almost a funny joke, but you couldn't sell it because of the stumble.
I stumble sometimes. Leave me alone. Shut up!
No, but it was a good joke that you were making, and then you botched the ending. That's all I'm saying. It was a good joke. So I would have played Charlotte's Webb before I would have allowed Joe Webb out there. But I would have read Charlotte's Web before I would have let Joe Webb. I think that's a little funnier.
I don't know. Maybe
it's a bad joke altogether. Yeah, I don't know. I would have let a spider web go out there.
Spider web.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's think about it.
Spider-Man.
Let's take the show down a little bit, shall we? Let's take the show down.
Joe Webb
down
was just right. He was awful.
He was rank.
He
okay?
was just bad.
So when Coach Mike McCarthy was asked what they did with their literally 70 minutes of notice, he said, we pulled some film on Joe, and we started watching.
We were like, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right, people.
And so I want to take you back to Saturday night on Facebook, where some of our nice listeners, Webb or Ponder, I don't think it matters. Peterson will carry the load.
Wow.
Peterson will have to run for 200-plus for the Vikings to stand any chance.
He got 99.
Oh, then I love this. Sergeant Friday in the house, Ed Franks. So, Ed, you're too old. You and Miranda and me, we're too old, okay?
We are. Well, you know what really finally
Sergeant
got me?
Sergeant Friday, that would be Dragnet, a 70s TV show. Then Joe Webb was was the actor, I believe, or was the sidekicks?
Yeah, I think so.
To Sergeant Friday. My name's Webb. This is
so someone started on Twitter, and I did it, though. I don't know if you saw it or not, because I know you were at home watching the game with Jordan. But on Twitter, someone started, and I saw someone said post Jack Webb greater than Joe Webb. And so I started doing some. I started doing Webb, the director.
Is that where
from
you come up with Charlotte's Webb?
Charlotte's Webb was one of them, right? And then so
you've had time to work on this joke.
No,
and you botched it.
No,
okay.
No. I didn't come up. I never came up with that one. I came up with other Webbs.
Okay,
like Spud Webb.
Oh, I like Spud Webb.
Spud Webb, greater than Joe Webb. So I was going. Well, then someone, you know, Jamil Hill. She's a reporter for ESPN.
Yes, she's beautiful,
lovely young lady, and so she's. Joe the policeman from the episode of what's happening on What's My Mama or whatever.
What's happening? Yeah.
It's greater than Joe Webb. She went
wow,
deep. A character, obscure character from a bad TV show, greater than Joe Webb.
This is AP's game. The rest of the Vikings are just along for the ride. Ha ha ha. The pressure is on Jack. To be wild funny.
Jack?
I don't know. I'm just reading you what people
okay,
said.
All right.
There were some profanities that got hidden in this.
I had to hide them.
Yeah. Guys, come on. We run a family-oriented website and Facebook page. Then there was the drunk guy. I want to thank Jesse for posting while drunk. Did you mean mine? It's me and the Peroni talking. Saint Murph fans about the gaffe. He was posting while drunk. Don't post while drunk.
Okay.
Vikings suck no matter who the quarterback is. Don't like it as a Packers fan. Zero time to prepare. See, some Green Bay fans had little panic attacks. Because they remember Joe Webb playing two seasons ago.
And playing very well.
And playing very well.
Yes.
But the fact is he had not taken a snap this season. He had not taken a meaningful snap.
Only three quarterbacks threw every single pass for their teams this season. And Christian Ponder was one of them. He took every snap, threw every single pass for the Minnesota Vikings. And then all of a sudden, and Christian Ponder came out today and he said, I feel I let the team down. And it's like, you're hurt. What are you going to do? I don't want you out there if you can't throw the football. But you know what?
So drunk,
I think the Minnesota
drunk Jesse, once he starts sobering up,
yeah,
this guy's the worst quarterback ever. It was 3 hours later, so he sobered up and went, oh, God. Too bad for the Vikings. Now, I remember we polled the Vikings fans preseason. They didn't expect to be in this situation.
No, they didn't.
And so they're grateful that they have a future. Get Adrian Peterson, keep him healthy, keep him happy. Get another wide receiver, get Percy Harvin healthy. And you guys have got the foundations of a terrific team. Retire with dignity, the Cowboy. Let him go out in style, so that your defense can get younger and can get faster. And I think this is a team that, and Leslie Frazier, I think can do it as a head coach in this league. So hats off to you guys. You battled through an impossible situation, and the Green Bay Packers really didn't get challenged at all in this game. It was surprising. It was truly surprising. I mean, because those seven, it looked closer than it was. The 7 points were scored at the very end of the game. There was maybe a minute or two left in the match. I'm already ready for radio tonight, Stephen.
You are.
There was just a few minutes left in the game because it really should have been 24-3. And it was a blowout. Clay Matthews was playing out of his mind. So happy to have him back on the field. John Kuhn with that amazing helicopter touchdown into the end zone.
Kuhn and
two
friends
touchdowns.
Alert. Kuhn and friends alert.
Kuhn and friends alert. I'm serious, guys.
He scored two. He scored two
he
TDs.
He scored one all season. He scored two.
In this game.
And I love when teams can do that. In the playoffs is when you pull out plays that people have never seen.
Mm-hmm. Just the fact that the Green Bay Packers were able, literally, when they wanted to, do pretty much anything they wanted to.
Yep.
Offensively.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers, back to Aaron Rodgers, throwing the ball.
And how about DeJuan Harris?
Threw for almost 300 yards.
Just to write him out, 17 carries, 47 yards.
Yeah.
That's a crappy average. But the fact is, You got to be able to show run legitimately to make your passing work.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers just did what he did.
But Harris had, what, like 53 yards receiving?
Receiving,
yes. Yeah, yeah, catching the ball. He caught the ball.
They
well
extend and, their running game into a West Coast screen game.
He was able to take little two-yard passes and turn them into 10, 15-yard gains. So it was quite interesting. I really think that if the defense can contain Mr. Kaepernick next week, the Green Bay Packers will take care of business. They will take care of business.
It's going to be all Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. Do we have an update on Smith, on Justin Smith's health?
I think right now it's still 50-50.
They absolutely have to have him. If they have him, San Francisco will be my pick, period. No question about it, because I believe in Green Bay. I believe in what they're doing and their ability to maul opposing quarterbacks. Yes.
I think we're going to have a Super Bowl that I'm not very happy with and I'm not very thrilled with, but I'm now starting to...
Your Super Bowl is starting to look like what?
Starting to look like Denver-Green Bay.
Denver-Green Bay. Denver-Green Bay. Who's knocking out the Patriots? Denver is.
Denver.
Denver's knocking out the Patriots.
New England's got to come to Denver.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. If that game were played in Foxborough...
Different story.
I don't
maybe.
Know who I'd take.
Yeah.
I would have to think long and hard about that one.
Yeah.
But in Denver, no, not so much. That defense. But you know what? New England's defense is so much better than it's been in years.
Yeah.
Special teams play better than it's been in years. This is, but look, San Francisco, do not rule out. This is a complete team. Yes, they have laid stinkers out there to the Rams. You know,
to Seattle,
in
to
Seattle,
to the Vikings.
Oh, Steven.
Yeah. And it would be very cool if somehow Seattle were to beat Atlanta and have to go to Green Bay for the NFC Championship game, and Green Bay could get revenge and exact the revenge.
Green Bay
from
can't
week
win
three.
At home.
Yeah, they
deep in the playoffs in a while. They have been the Atlanta Falcons at home. Where it's
but
like
they just did. They just won at home. They were at home against Minnesota this
against
week.
Against Joe Webb.
Joe Webb was not good.
Spider Webb would have been more effective. But no. There's no joke. Steven, we're really, really out of time.
Oh,
we still have a
time.
Game we haven't probably talked about. Indianapolis, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Houston.
Yeah,
Houston,
the
we
game
never talked
we haven't
about.
Talked about is Cincinnati, Houston, and there's a reason.
That game was bad, people. It was bad.
If you,
and
if
it was
you,
the challenge
first
game.
First of all, for Houston, if Houston thinks that
I am
yes,
the smartest
you
man
are,
alive.
Yes.
The challenge game, friends, is even.
Are
even
we all back to square?
Steven!
Are we back to Steve? Even Steven?
Even Steven!
All right, so let's just say that the Houston Texans, if they think for a second that kicking a whole bunch of field goals is going to get them far in the playoffs, they are wrong.
Now, I know you,
you
post,
got to score touchdowns.
I know you posted on Facebook in reply to my witticism that nobody's ever said that.
Yes.
But, or says nobody. You actually worded it in a witty way. Did you snicker at all when I posted what I posted?
No.
Field goals win championships, people. Field goals. With one more about.
And I said,
we
said
dominate.
Nobody ever.
Said nobody ever. But a few people got a chuckle out of
yes,
it. Field goals
yes.
win championships. That's how Houston was playing. Field goals win championships.
Yes.
It was like, come on, guys. Seriously?
The Cincinnati Bengals were really disappointing. I really thought that they had lost to Houston last year in the same wild card weekend.
Yes.
And I think that they had grown. They would go in there. And the fact that you don't throw A.J. Green the ball until the second half, you didn't throw him once. Not one single pass. I don't care if they're rolling triple coverage to the brother side. You got to at least throw him the football one time.
You know what D said?
At least one time.
You know what D said?
What?
Who's that guy?
In the end, in the second half?
Yeah,
when they finally started throwing
that pass. Who's that guy? Where's that guy been?
Yeah.
See, my wife pays good enough attention to know when something's changed.
Yeah.
And she's like, that was really good. Who's that guy?
Well, the fact that Andy Dalton missed him, that was the game. He's wide open in the end zone, and you overthrow him by 4 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game.
He ain't Will Chamberlain, friends.
I got
a tip for you. When you're playing Frisbee in the snow,
yes,
don't jump. You'll go down.
When you land?
No, when you push off to jump, you go down. I had a Frisbee go over my head. I was
not
jumping.
It's not padded.
It's not packed snow. It's fresh snow, reasonably. Uh-huh. And I was shocked because the Frisbee was going over my head, and I go to make the Mondo cool lunge, and I was up to my knee in snow. I went south instead of north. I thought, it's kind of an irony. I didn't know that. We don't grow up with snow.
Well, you don't get to jump once you hit the bottom, though? There was no elevation then?
The Frisbee's well past you after you've sunk in the snow. See. It's a timing thing there, Steve.
Well, you have to time it so that you go down for the sinkage.
First of all,
so
I have a vert of 2 inches. So once I'm down six, there ain't no amount of jump that's going to help me there. I was just giving these little tips. These are life tips that we give to Rants and Raves listeners.
All right.
We do it as a public service. We do it because of L-O-V-E.
Well, the final was 19-13. The Cincinnati Bengals once again got to figure out what they need to do to win in the playoffs because they just can't seem to get it done.
My favorite play, Steven, when J.J. Watt smacked down one of Andy Dalton's passes.
And then
he took his finger and he, no, Mr.
Yes,
Dalton.
Yes.
You're not throwing it by me. And yes. it was cool to see J.J. Watt unleashed. Speaking of unleashed, Django Unchained.
Yes.
Must see for the guys. Leave the ladies at home. Because it's a bloodbath.
That's spelled with a D.
Django as
D J N G. What?
Who's the male lead?
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
The D is silent.
The D is silent.
Yes.
This is back in a time when he wasn't supposed to be able to read, let alone have a name with silent letters that he could tell you which one is silent.
D J A N G O. The D is silent.
Imagine Clint Eastwood doing any of his spaghetti westerns from the 60s, given to Quentin Tarantino.
So just shoot him up. A lot of
blood everywhere.
Yes. A friend of mine was a stunt woman in that movie. So
a friend of ours.
A friend of ours, that's right.
Friend of the shows.
I forget that you know
the friend
Chrissy.
Of the shows.
Yes, friend
she's
of the show.
She's
friend
a of love of the show.
Yes, yes. Forget that Chrissy's been here. So.
What's up? So what do you got to say here? Did
all
we
I've
learn
got to
anything
say
about
is
Houston?
What we learned is that Houston
Matt
ain't ready.
Can win a playoff game.
Well, I mean, T.J. Yates beat the Cincinnati Bengals last year.
Matt Leinart.
No, Matt Leinart wasn't in the game.
Oh, he was the previous week.
Right. Did he play?
No, he
Matt Leinart got hurt.
In the game.
Not against Cincinnati.
No, it was the week before?
Yeah.
Well, it was an important game, and Matt played well and then got hurt.
Yes.
And Yates came in and played well,
T.J.
too.
Yates played the entire postseason game.
Right.
So, which was weird, because last year we had rookie Andy Dalton versus rookie T.J. Yates, but it was nothing like rookie RG3 versus rookie.
They teased me. For the second year in a row, we've had two rookies face. T.J. Yates somehow eluded me. I don't know how.
TJ, not DJ.
Whatever.
You're still thinking Django. The D is silent.
Jinx,
anyways,
you owe me a coke.
Houston Texans, they get the pleasure of going to New England to face the New England Patriots. And the divisional round is set, Jeffrey. Here is the games. Saturday, the early game is the Baltimore Ravens at Denver Broncos. The late game, Green Bay Packers at San Francisco 49ers. We're going to be at that.
We have to decide now.
Yes. And the Sunday games, the morning game, Seattle Seahawks versus the Atlanta Falcons on Fox.
And that's on Fox.
And then the late game on CBS, the Houston Texans at New England
Patriots.
You're
not even going to let me give the networks. Wow. I had a small role in this, and you just went in and took my small role.
Well, you started giving it, so I figured that's what you wanted me to do.
So you got to think that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be at the Packers 49ers game.
49ers, yes.
And the question is if we want to hang out with them.
Do we?
Because Troy usually says this to me. And
there you go.
Joe actually did say hi to me once.
Did he?
In an elevator.
I remember that.
But yeah. Troy, we've never shared an elevator or anything.
Yeah.
but he's never stopped and said anything to me.
I see. Well, I have had conversations with Troy Aikman. Well, I can't say
for
that.
Good reason. You were working for the club, okay?
Yes. It was a very long time ago. Anyways, far away. So there you go. I'm excited for this weekend. I think this is going to be good. We got to, like, plan. Let's just have a party. Let's have a weekend party at the house.
Look,
we'll put the big screens together side by side.
You don't need big screens side by side when you only got one game on.
Well, that's true, but then you have them on two. You have the game
then
on
I'll
two.
Then I'll sit here and decide which one I want to look at, and I'll miss a play. If you are able to reach downtown Los Angeles within an hour on a Sunday or a Saturday, please send an email so that I know if there's enough interest to throw something together for a listener party.
So what? We go to BJ's?
We're either going to Sharon's
Buffalo
house.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
We're either going to Sharon's house. Because she's the only one who gives a damn and the only one who loves this around
Buffalo
here.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Are we going to do Buffalo Wild Wings?
We could. There's a lot of things we could do. But we got to know that anyone gives a damn.
We want to go Buffalo Wild Wings for like the whole day because you got to be there for both games. You can't go to one and then.
There's a big enough break. I got lunch on my way to your house.
Yes.
And I showed up right at kickoff.
Yeah, I had a pause it for you.
For like 10 seconds.
It was like a 15-second pause.
Okay, yes. So look, I would love to do something and meet people and have fun.
Yes.
But I got to know that anyone cares.
Okay.
Jeff@RARN.net.
There you
Not
go.
Hard.
Let Jeff know. Jeff@RARN.net. If you're in the Southern California area and would like to meet up with us to watch some football. Otherwise, we will just watch it at home.
We'll just do what we do. Watch with our families and enjoy ourselves.
You know, and then we'll come back to you later this week where we give you our prediction.
Prediction show will be coming up shortly, and we thank you for listening up through the 95th minute here of our episode 490.
We've gone far too long. I'm ready for the Super Bowl. Can we just go to New Orleans now? Can we stay the week afterwards? And stay for Mardi Gras?
Our flight leaves in 2 weeks.
Can we stay in Mardi Gras?
Doesn't that make you a lot nervous that our flight leaves in 2 weeks?
Not at all. I'm ready. I'm just asking you, can we stay an extra week and stay for the following Sunday for
Mardi
Gras?
We would have a cheaper flight home if we did.
Well, let's stay for Mardi Gras.
By several hundred dollars.
Well, let's stay for Mardi Gras.
I'm not a pro. Well, I do have to probably get a job. But anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.
I'm Steven
Appreciate
Miranda.
It, Jeff Ellis. Peace.
This has been NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.